just like you, we're all about sports. And the things that make sports great, like beer and wings. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
I'm Craig Sheeman, along with Pete Shepherd. Chris on the other side of the glass. Sheeman is Shepherd, ESPN Southwest Florida. We'll dive into the Heat win yesterday. Bottom of the hour, Cedric Maxwell, broadcaster and former player, of course, with the Celtics, will join us to talk about the amazing finish against the Nets yesterday.
Stammer time, I text again. You guys sound so old. Let me read all three. This is entertaining. Stop taking it so serious in the playoffs. He backs up the trash talk. Then he says, I think it's great. Kyrie, Trey, Giannis, these guys embrace the hate, feed off. I thought you guys wanted more of the old school rivals competition. Don't take it so seriously. What have we said? We said it's going to be great for the game. My only thing with Kyrie is I don't want him to get suspended because he keeps flipping the bird. Everything you said, Stammer time, we didn't disagree. So I don't know sometimes what you people hear. But we said it's great for the game. It's going to be great ratings. Trash talking? That's not trash talking. Craig and I lived through the pinnacle of trash talking in the NBA, where guys threw punches and WWE
and
moves
did not get kicked out of the game.
So trust me, when the Celtics played Detroit, Detroit played Philadelphia, the Celtics played Philadelphia, Lakers, Detroit. It wasn't just one guy. It wasn't like booing Kyrie. You booed every possession.
That's right.
Every possession.
Nobody flipped anybody off.
No, you just put the guy down. You clothesline him.
All right.
Whatever.
7 minutes and 46 seconds past the hour. Uh-oh. Time now for a SportsCenter rundown. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Chris.
SportsCenter update brought to you by Best Home Services. Service appointments available now.
GetBest.com.
The Tampa Bay Bandits will make their USFL return tonight. They will take on the Pittsburgh Maulers, 7 o'clock on FS1. The game was postponed, supposed to be played yesterday, because of inclement weather. Mavs guard Luka Doncic unlikely to play tonight against the Utah Jazz as he deals with a calf strain. Sorry, against the Utah Jazz. That game, 8 o'clock. Clock or 8:30 on NBA TV, and we've got another The Match. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers will take on Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.
Calm down, Arthur Bills fan.
It'll be June 1st, 6:30 on TNT. A 12-hole match play.
Why
event.
12 holes? Why 12?
I don't know.
Just play the 18, boys.
Where they playing?
It's that the Wynn Golf Course in Vegas.
All right, I got a couple of fun facts. During the break, I was scanning around. I saw Baker Mayfield's now trending number one, and it's attached to the story.
The Lions.
Everybody else is saying it's Panthers. This is now Lions. Should make a trade for them. I think Pro Football Talk wrote, probably got that going, writing about it today.
They've been, in touch with my sources.
Oh, that's right. Pete Shepard is reporting, himself and I.
Yeah.
And I was already glad that Indiana basketball five-star Jalen Hood-Schifino signed. He was the kid that played here in the tournament in Fort Myers last week.
Yeah.
Well, he played chief recruiter this weekend because his teammate from Montverde, Malik Renau, who was originally going to go to Florida, but then they made the coaching change, and he bailed on Florida, and now Mike Woodson just signed him. So two five-stars. I've never had that before. With my Hoosiers, signed it once.
That's great.
I'm very excited about it.
And my Friars, like I said, they lost Nate Watson last week. He left to go to Virginia because of a nil deal. That's fine. They signed South Carolina, I think their best player, one of the best players in Devin Carter. He's going to Providence. They got LaSalle's Clifton Moore, who's awesome, and Florida and Noah Locke. So they reloaded pretty good.
Craig, I can't wait to watch all these five stars playing bubble basketball come March of next year. That's going to be so much fun.
That hurts.
A mighty Nooner tip-off on a Thursday before the tournament.
Beth Mowins doing play-by-play.
With five-star kids on the court? Love to see it. Cannot wait.
Why are you belittling my opportunity here to have two of my five starters be five stars? I've never had that before. We're
That's
like Kentucky
10
now.
Stars between the two of them.
Yeah, we're like Kentucky basketball. Calipari getting one and dones now. Yeah,
they've never had bad players.
I don't know why you're raining on my parade.
I'm not raining. I just can't wait to watch them feel the true spirit of Indiana basketball. Bubble Watch 2023.
I'm telling you, Trace Jackson Davis is not going to get drafted. Yeah. He's going to come back. We're going to be preseason number one in the Big Ten.
All kidding aside, if he does come back, you might be right.
Yeah.
You might be right.
I like it. I like it. I'm excited. Let me be excited.
Yeah, you can be excited.
I've never been excited. It's been a long time since I've been excited about Indiana basketball in April.
There are, in my lifetime, there are certain programs that rise to the occasion and certain programs that don't rise to the occasion.
Okay, in my lifetime, I've lived twice as long as you have, and I've seen the glory days, and I want them back.
I just said in my life, that's all I can go off of. I can't go off of 8,000 years ago. I wasn't around then, Craig.
Except for North Carolina, you do.
Rules.
You do that history.
But, Pete, I've got enough in recent history where I don't have to go so far back in the time machine. Indiana, in my lifetime, has been a program that maybe doesn't live up to expectations every year. And I don't think that's unfair of me to say.
It's Tom Crean's fault.
It might be. It might be.
Best tanned coach ever.
And you know what? He did it at Georgia.
Oh, that was a flaming disaster.
In fact, please.
That might be one of the most biggest disasters I've ever seen. What coach goes somewhere and loses three times as many games as he wins in a Power Five?
I thought when he was at Marquette that he was a pretty good coach. I'll
still say he's a good recruiter, although I don't think he recruited well at Georgia. He hadn't figured out the South.
What happened to that
Anthony
team?
Edwards?
Oh. He went to Georgia. Yeah.
That's true.
He couldn't get to the tournament with him.
They were pathetic. They should not have. What were they, 6-24? Some horrible record they had last year.
They
did beat Alabama once.
Was that it?
When Alabama was ranked.
I think they went on the road the next Wednesday, and I made an awful lot of shekels off of taking the Razorbacks and laying the 7 or whatever it was.
All right, let's finish this sound here. We spent a lot of time talking about Kyrie and the Celtics. Again, Cedric Maxwell at the bottom of the hour. The Heat, impressive in their opening win against the Hawks.
You wouldn't know it by watching ESPN.
I know, that's why I'm covering it with you guys right now.
It's unbelievable.
115-91 over the Hawks. Some pretty good defense on Trae Young. Jimmy buckets on holding Trae Young to a season low in points. This is on TNT.
Just make it physical on him. Challenge every shot. Keep him off the free throw line. And make him pass. He is a willing passer, but he can score in bunches, and we just don't want him to do that.
Yeah, we don't. We don't want him to do that. Here's Trae Young. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You double.
Here's Trae Young, very confident that he'll be able to turn things around. A little bounce back.
I mean, I'm very confident we're going to turn this around, first of all. And then second of all, whenever teams are trapping and doing things like that, it's not necessarily just me. I got to make sure my teammates are in the right place. And bringing JC back tonight, I mean, it's another guy. I got to get into a rhythm and a flow. But they did a lot of trapping and things like that. So it's more about getting guys to the right place and making the right reads. So it's a collective unit whenever a guy gets trapped.
0-for-7 on threes, tied for the second most misses without making in a game in his career. Heat were up by 32. It felt like they were up by 102.
Yeah.
And then Duncan Robinson again made a team postseason record, 8 threes, also tied a most in a playoff game by an undrafted player all time.
All right, here the Suns, they beat the Pelicans 110-99. This is for you, Wig, if you're out there listening. Here's Monty Williams and classic Chris Paul at the right time he takes over games.
He was running middle pick and roll. A couple times we did a side pick and roll, but they were switching. And, you know, the big backed up and he had a hot hand and he was knocking down shots. And then there were a couple times he just got to the basket. But I think the team set up having the shooters around him allows for him to get to the paint. And D.A. and JaVale diving puts a lot of pressure on the rim. But that's just classic Chris. At the right time, he takes over, and we needed it. There was a spell in the third where we just turned it over. We got bad shots. We got to the basket and missed a layup, and then we fell down, and we were behind in transition. You know, it was like a 5-on-3 break at times if we had a guy in the corner. And so his ability to knock down those shots allowed for us to set our defense.
When's Zion Williamson coming in? Does anybody know? I keep hearing it's such a phantom story. Him and Ben Simmons, two ghosts.
Their doctors disagree on his foot injury, right?
Right.
Yeah, like his doctors say that his foot injury is not healed.
I thought it was the outside source that says he's good. It's the team that says he's not ready. I thought it was. Am I flipped?
Yes, I think you're flipped.
Team wants him out. Okay.
Team wants him out. His side says no. Okay. Can't do it.
Because he's – okay, I get it. So
this is just laying the groundwork for the inevitable trade request.
Right. So what's wrong with the Pelicans? What, we saw AD do this. I thought AD was just being AD. Now Zion doesn't want to play there. I mean, remember all the comments when he got drafted and the excitement? Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to be – it's going to be different with me. I'm going to be here for – what is the disconnect with the Pelicans? Because the Pelicans have some – a good nucleus of players. What's the disconnect there? Are they that bad of an organization behind the scenes?
I don't –
it might be, but with him – I mean, he started talking about playing for the Knicks last year. He brought it up at a press conference.
Well, everybody talks about playing
well,
for the Knicks.
Well, no, not really. What do you want to play for that jackass organization for? Because it's in New
Kyrie
York.
Talked about the Knicks before he went to the Nets. KD talked about the Knicks before he went to the Nets. James Harden talked about the Knicks before he went to the Nets.
But that's
I'm just saying.
But look who was there, though. That was like, they could have been playing on the moon. They wanted Kyrie and KD and Harden together. They could have been playing on Mars. And you want to go there.
I think it's just been bad luck. I think that the 2 years that they got the one, they got
two bad seasons.
I don't want to call them bad apples, but yeah, apples that didn't want to be in New Orleans. They didn't want to be New Orleans apples.
I mean,
I don't know how
Zion,
else to put it.
A healthy Zion with this nucleus could win some playoff series. That's what you want to do. You want to go and win.
Yeah, he's not going to play in the series. There's no way. He's not playing in the series. And
okay.
Do you think?
If you're the conspiracy theory, and it's not about, he's trying to play himself out and get to New York for the Knicks, probably. It certainly fits the mold.
All right. Now,
I don't know. Like, do you think Ja Morant would pull this stunt if he was taken number one over Zion? Do you think Zion would be the same way if he got drafted to Memphis instead of New Orleans?
Memphis isn't the greatest city on earth, but he seems to be doing swimmingly well there.
Yeah. That's
a great atmosphere there, though. I think it's up and coming.
It's a great atmosphere, New Orleans would be a good atmosphere.
If they
were the two
seed.
It's
a good atmosphere for football. It's one of the best in the NFL.
Absolutely.
All right, let me ask you this. Back to the Boston game for a moment. If you're the Nets and you just went tooth and nail with the Celtics, hostile crowd, and you lose a heartbreaker, buzzer beater, and you go into your locker room and you look at a fresh Ben Simmons in the locker room, just a perfectly good human body, just didn't do anything for you. Just taking up space. Would you be a little angry? I mean, human nature. Would you be a little resentful?
Yeah.
Like, dude, get out here. I'm seeing you practice. If I'm KD, and by the way, KD had a rare, not so great game, I'd be pissed. Yeah. I'd be livid. We got a perfectly good player, I think, over here, and he's not giving us anything. That would start to wear on me after a while. Yeah. And by the way, KD's always backed up Kyrie. Now, he did rip on James Harden, but he's always backed his teammates. And I just, inside, he's got to be boiling over. But I got Kyrie, who's dysfunctional, who only is now playing. I got James Harden, who didn't take anything seriously before we shipped him off. And I got a Ben Simmons over here who's claiming he's mentally ill and can't play, and he's perfectly fine.
Yep.
That would really start to wear on me after a while.
Yeah, and especially now. It makes it, even without, without Williams, not Grant, without Robert Williams in there, don't forget he hasn't been in there yet. And they played tremendous defense overall on KD yesterday. I mean, they really did. I mean, there's a big reason why he shot 9 for 24, and that doesn't happen very often. That's why I said, even though it's a 1 point game, but the Celtics were up by 14. I thought they were ready to.
But to Craig's point,
I agree.
You're making the point.
Yeah, it's you
put
need,
another
they
guy.
They need him.
Put another guy out on the floor who's.
You're pretty good defensive player.
And can handle the ball. For all of his faults and flaws on the offensive side of the ball, the dude can handle and he can find the right player. Do you think that defensively, I know that it looks different for Brooklyn if he's out there in the last
He's a long
nine
player,
seconds.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't have to play necessarily the five spot either. He could probably play the three or the four, or he can rotate. But it makes it much more difficult for the Nets. That's why I picked the Celtics in five, and that's still probably all close games. But Kyrie and KD have to play almost flawless. Almost flawless.
Yeah. I was thinking about it. One of them has to play great. The other one has to play good. Because if you get a great Kyrie on Sunday and a good KD,
they win the game.
They probably win that game.
They outscore the Celtics by 10 or 11 in the fourth quarter. It's a loss.
But you got a great Kyrie and a slightly below average Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Maybe it... Go ahead and credit the Celtics defense. I've seen great defense not be able to shut down KD.
Yeah.
If he's hitting that shot, like, it's just, you cannot do anything to stop him. He is an unstoppable offensive player when he's hitting his shot. Yeah. They need to get a combination of great and above average. If they do that four times over the next six games, they got a real shot in this thing. But the margin of error, it's so small. Yeah. Versus you look at Boston, and okay, they lose Williams. Who comes in? Al Horford comes in and does a spectacular job.
You know what? Because he was hearing it all week. Oh, that's what's his name? Brown and opened his mouth and said, who's from Boston, by the way, and said, oh, they, you know, without Williams in there, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. No,
but,
you're not.
Well, but I thought that they were in big trouble when Tice and Horford got two on them pretty early. What was it? First quarter, I think. They each had two of them, two on them, and I'm going, oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's not going to be good. But that's what Al Horford brings you. He brings you – he's the veteran that knows how to – when he gets his second foul at the end of the first quarter, you can leave him in the game, and he knows how to play without getting that third foul where you have to bench him.
I admire the Celtics, the way they play defense so much, and Miami too, that they have the – both teams have the ability to smother people. They don't fall for the jump a lot, so you're not – going into a player, they just keep their hands up and they're constantly moving side to side. They play smart defensive basketball.
Yep.
That's why I think both of those teams would be in the Eastern Conference Finals. And just look, you look at the way, you know, the last drive, how it went for Brooklyn, and you saw. I mean, and the defense that was swarming and they couldn't find anybody, and finally they get KD and Tatum's all over him, and he still got a decent shot off, but Tatum was right in his face, and Horford was right there for the rebound 10.5 seconds ago, and we know the rest. I still can't believe that Marcus Smart didn't take that shot.
Yeah.
I was amazed.
Best assist he's ever had.
Yep.
All right, real quick, drinking totals just amongst us boys. Anybody put up a big weekend?
I think I only had two drinks.
No.
We talking Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Sure.
We're talking...
Sure.
I didn't drink yesterday. I had...
Yeah, okay. I just had my mimosa, and I think I had one beer. Light weekend.
I had two beers Friday.
Yeah.
And one on Saturday.
Wow, light for you.
Yeah, three. I didn't drink yesterday.
All right.
I'd say Friday, Saturday, Sunday was close to 10 total.
Okay. All righty. All right, coming up, we're going to talk with Cedric Maxwell. He's now doing radio for the – has been for the Celtics.
Time, yeah. Former NBA Finals MVP.
We'll get his thoughts on what he witnessed, and I'll get to the bottom of the beginning of the sweet potato reference in his – sweet potato pie reference in his play-by-play. All that coming up, so stay with us. And next hour, got Wikipedia where you can go against Pete Shepard in trivia. Today and this day in history, a couple of interesting things. Joe Montana retired in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton Manning drafted first by the Colts in 1998. So I kind of all the questions kind of revolve loosely around those two guys, two big name quarterbacks in the trivia today. So that's coming up at 4:45. Your chance to win $25 from Biggie's Place in Fort Myers off Fowler Street. Cedric Maxwell talking hoops next. Sheeman and Shepard, ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Smart up fakes, finds the cutter, Tatum spins, lays it up and in to beat the buzzer. It's over, it's over. The Celtics have won the ball game at the buzzer. Marcus Smart up fake the three that killed the final seconds. Tatum joined the play late, spun at the rim and scored. They will check the clock, but it reads double zeros right now.
Did somebody's grandma just make a sweet potato pie? Damn, I can't believe it.
That was Cedric Maxwell at the end, the radio analyst for the Celtics, and of course, a longtime NBA player and two-time champion with the Celtics. He joins us right now with Sheeman and Shepard on ESPN
Southwest Florida. Cedric, how are you?
Damn, Max. That was classic.
Oops. Are we there?
Can't hear him.
Just hold on.
We'll get, hang on, Max.
Cedric Maxwell with us here, who had that call just a second as the Celtics win yesterday. Over the Nets, 115-114. Cedric, can you hear us? Hold on. Technical issues, probably on our end.
No,
all right. Well, we'll get him. He's there. We'll get him here in just a second.
Anyway, like I said,
game one of that series, by the way.
You'll hear the origin of the sweet potato pie. Right?
I got to hear it.
It brings it up occasionally.
Yeah?
It's special.
Special occasions.
Special moments.
All right.
Special moments.
Find out what that's all about. All right. We'll get in some insight on Kyrie.
And then, and also, again, it is just amazing. You would not think the number one seed Miami Heat played yesterday by a blurb. You're a blurb. I haven't even seen barely a blurb about them and how awesome they were defensively and just a butt-kicking, a number one seed. That was the freaking Lakers that did that in the West. Oh. It'd be nonstop that.
Yeah.
But to not even really be mentioned all morning long.
No kidding. I think we're the only ones that covered it. So,
yeah.
That's going to be interesting. And then tonight, we got Raptors and Sixers, game two of that series. We've got Jazz and Mavericks, and followed by Denver and the Warriors later on tonight.
I think the most surprising, I think Memphis not showing up, not being ready, despite that environment and the way they played against the Timberwolves was a little surprising, but they haven't been in that position much before. But neither the Timberwolves either as well. So that was surprising. And I was surprised that the Raptors didn't give the Sixers a better game one.
And, of course, Scotty Burns, I don't think he's going to play today. He's got a bad ankle that he injured. He was playing well, too. Yeah. I think he had 15 points and 8 assists and 10 rebounds at the point of his injury. That'll be something that the Raptors will have to try and figure out. So
I think Utah gets it. Doncic is out again. So I think the Jazz, will go up 2-0 tonight. I mean, you never know. I think Golden State, with Steph back, people weren't sure if he was going to play game one, and he was pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
All right. I see Chris efforting the phones and resetting and replugging.
I'm sorry, guys.
That's all right. We'll get him on here in a second. I know we got to do the reset and all that stuff. So anyway, that's what the latest going on around the NBA. What else grabbed my attention? I mentioned this last segment. If you're a Nets player, I don't know how you look at a perfectly good Ben Simmons just sitting when you really could have used him. If nothing else, like I don't expect Ben Simmons to come out and make a bunch of shots. That's not his thing. But he's good, lengthy player that can disrupt defensively. He can handle the ball. And when you look at a guy and he's just sitting there making $20, $30 million and it contributes nothing, that would be very frustrating to me.
And I don't want to hear, if my prediction of Celtics in five comes true, I don't want to hear, well, if it got to game six that he would have played. I don't want to hear it.
Because that was the story last week. Yeah, I think it was they came out that he might come back for game four. And I'm like, why are you bringing a guy back for an elimination game?
Yeah, maybe.
Potentially.
Yes, exactly.
That made no sense to me whatsoever. So these players today and just the tens of millions of dollars.
Can you imagine a Bill Laimbeer or a Kareem or a Robert Parrish with issues and not being out there? They would have got called out by their respective teammates.
Yeah, no question. All right, let's get a guy that played from our era. Hey, we got the phones worked out. Yeah. Cedric Maxwell is with us. Thank you for your patience, Cedric. How are you?
Hey, Max.
Oh, I'm doing fine, gentlemen. And Pete, only you would be able to get a job down to Florida. God bless you.
Yeah, very very lucky. Very
living the dream.
Yeah, our five-year anniversary is coming up with Craig and I on the show. All right, so right out of the gate, you got now I've heard you saved the sweet potato pie references. I've heard them a few times before. Got to be a special occasion, but Craig wants to know the origin. I know you told Bart and Hahn earlier today, but can you explain to my friend over here how that came to be?
You know me, Pete. I say things which come out the top of my head and things that get people excited. It hasn't nothing to do with I do make a mean sweet potato pie, but, there's excitement that I'm trying to add to the excitement that Sean has just talked about, my broadcast partner. Yeah. So I embellish just a little bit, and tell you something that might make me really excited. And so that gives that, that puts that taste in your mouth.
Were you hungry because it's the end of a long day? I mean, how does that come up?
No, not hungry. Again, just trying to emphasize or exaggerate a little bit more of what I just saw.
Okay.
And giving you a taste for it. Sometimes I've said sandwiches. Sometimes I might say it could be anything. But it's just a little bit of exaggeration over what I've just seen.
Okay.
How about Marcus passing up the ball at the a year ago, Max, 2 years ago? There is no way he's not shooting that three. A remarkable, last-second decision by him. And you brought it up earlier, and I was thinking the same thing when I was watching it live, eating my Easter dinner. Everybody touched the ball for the Celtics on that last play, which I thought was terrific.
Red Auerbach right now is someplace up there lighting up a cigar saying, that's how the game should be played. Mm-hmm. And you look in the last possession with them, when Brooklyn had the ball, two people touched it. Kyrie touched it. Durant touched it. In that Celtic last possession, everybody touched the basketball. And so it was more about a team concept. So I happen to love that particular play and the way it broke down. You finally found your best player at the last second. And you said maybe a year or two ago, Marcus takes the hero shot. But this year, he decides to pass it off to Tatum, who had a better shot going towards the rim.
Earlier, a few days ago, Bruce Brown is trash talking. He's saying, look, it might be easier inside without Robert Williams. That didn't work out because I think the Celtics outscored the Nets in the paint 56-32. But how much did his comments, do you think, that got under the skin of some people in Boston?
I don't think it affected him in Boston. I don't think he really played that much a major role in the game. Mm-hmm. I think that he, in a lot of ways, he's right. Because Rob Williams, defensively, and that's what you talk about, what he would do to slow down Brooklyn attacking the rim. Brooklyn wouldn't maybe get to the rim. Kyrie would have been looking over his shoulder coming towards the rim because Rob Williams is always around the basket trying to block shots. So, yeah, he did make a point, and the point was valid. A little crazy right now in the playoffs, but the point was valid.
I think that besides Kyrie flipping the bird, if he keeps doing it, I think he's going to get a suspension. And I know he's got to be bigger than that. But, man, Craig and I, he came from the trash.
You're a big guy now, Pete. You know they're not going to suspend him. They're going to fine him.
Yes.
But you know what? The way people look at it, do you think right now that Turner and ABC were drooling with what happened with Kyrie Irving? Do you think that the people in the NBA office probably like, wink, wink, man, that was a hell of a thing, Kyrie.
Absolutely.
We didn't like it, but it happened. Yeah, but I didn't like it either. Now, let's get to the main point. Kyrie was wrong, and then some of the fans were wrong. But I don't think that anybody, Pete, could go through a game or could play 3 hours and have 18,000 people screaming and yelling, saying all kind of crazy stuff to you, and you not to react. Pete Shepard, I know you in a car when you were here in Boston. Somebody blows their horn at you. You about to give them a couple of choice words. Not 18,000, but one person.
Yeah, but until Meta World Peace went nuts years ago, you guys in your era never did this stuff.
Sir, apparently you didn't see when I went in the stands.
Yeah, I was going to bring it up.
In 1981.
But he had that coming. He had that coming, though.
And shot some fan a elbow to the chest for saying a couple of choice words at me. So I can't say anything. I have to take myself out of that scenario. Okay,
but can you imagine? I mean, the headlines all over ESPN, it's, first of all, they don't even act like the Miami Heat played at all. It's crazy to me. But, it's all about, Kyrie's reaction. And no, the fans didn't get under his skin. He had a phenomenal game, 39 points. I mean, he embraces that, and I get that, which most players back in, the heyday of the NBA in the, in the 80s and the early 90s, man, you didn't just boo a player. Celtics, the Pistons came in. Craig was a big Pistons guy. You booed everybody. Lakers, your 76ers, everybody. You just trash-talked everybody. This would never be a headline 25 years ago.
Yeah, it wouldn't, but we're in a whole nother era where you have to be politically correct. And what Kyrie did was not politically correct. And I don't think the fans, to me, when I hear the Celtic fans chant out, Kyrie sucks, That, to me, I think our fans, the Celtic fans, are better than that because there happen to be a lot of kids there. And I don't want to explain to a 7-year-old, Kyrie sucks what, Dad? What does he suck? I don't have to give that explanation.
Okay.
So, I mean, I just, part of, again, I see two sides to it. Kyrie is going to react. But to me, Kyrie's best reaction was his play on the floor.
Exactly.
Let that do your talking, brother. You done shut everybody up. Every time you touched the ball, people were like, So, yeah.
Cedric Maxwell is with us. All right, you talk about it's a different era. How upset would you be? We were talking about this before you came on. If I'm KD, and, you know, I didn't have my best game. Kyrie had a great game. You just lose at the buzzer in front of a hostile crowd. You go in the locker room and you see a fresh, perfectly good Ben Simmons sitting over there who really could have helped us. But, you know, mental issue, whatever. That would start to rub me the wrong way after a while if I just laid everything out on the court. What do you say to that?
I think that that could be the case.
Yeah.
When you think about a player, but I think we're in another era of basketball where guys have a tendency that they respect other guys if they say they're hurt. During the 80s, during the 70s when I played, if you said you had a twisted ankle or something, dudes were looking to see if a bone was sticking out. And they didn't care about that. Or, you know, something was wrong with you.
Yeah.
They'd be like, well, wait a minute. What's wrong? You got a bruised ovary? I mean, that's what they'd be talking about. They wouldn't be thinking about you talking about, well, I have mentally right now, I'm not prepared to play. Yeah. Dude. Wrap it up. Let's go. That's what people normally say.
Yeah.
Tell me, about, you know, when did you first get a feeling that the Celtics had turned the corner? Because I started, you know, I watched almost every one of their games down here, obviously, along with a lot of other teams. And the way they were blowing 15, 10, 15, 20-point leads early on or until the midway point, and then they started to really get it together. You know, were you surprised that Udoka finally got this team going to be playing, you know, great basketball that they did, the best team in the second half of the year?
Well, I think several things happened. Maybe three things I'm going to say happened. One, I remember being actually the Celtics had won 5 in a row. We're in Orlando at probably about 2 o'clock in the morning, just checking in from a game. I think it was in New Orleans. And Marcus Smart and I happened to be on the elevator and going back down to get our luggage. And I said, boy, you guys are playing great. And he said, that's what happened when you let your damn point guard run your offense. Mm-hmm. That started it all. Mm-hmm. So Marcus has the keys to the truck. Then Marcus says to the team, to Brown and Tatum, you guys need to pass the ball and trust other guys. And then they did that. Martin, mm-hmm. Then you look at Tatum and Brown, they addressed the elephant in the room. When they said, a bunch of people said, they cannot play with each other. And then they came out publicly and said, we like each other. We're going to make this thing work. We understand who we are, and this is who my best teammate is. So with those three things, and then believing, add one more to it, when you think about Rob Williams, everybody said, well, they needed a third star on that team. Yeah. And then you see Rob Williams come from no place and be the shot blocker and anchoring the defense. That really has helped this team formulate, you know, all the things around Brad Stevens, some of the trades he's made.
Mm-hmm.
Bring back Daniel Tice, insurance policy. That was a good deal when Rob Williams goes down. Go ahead, get Derek White from San Antonio. Another good pickup because he handles the basketball. So the Celtics have touched a lot of buttons, and I think that's why their season turned around in midseason.
Are you not amazed for me? And, you know, because we have the ESPN brand down here, doesn't mean I very seldom agree with our friends in Bristol, Connecticut. I am I'm pissed that the way the Celtics and the Miami Heat retreated for basically the last 2.5 months as if they didn't really exist, because all you heard about was the stupid Lakers and how badly they sucked every day, which who cares, or how the Brooklyn Nets are going to make it through the play-in game. I think Miami and Boston, who I picked a month ago to be in the Eastern Conference Finals, I still believe that because I still think they are the two best teams. I mean, how'd you feel about that, or did you not get caught up in it?
Well, you've been around along, your broadcast partner has been around long enough to understand bad news sells.
Yeah.
Good news doesn't sell. Yeah. You go out and say, Well, the Girl Scouts, she just stole $10 worth of cookies the other day. And you go, wow, that's pretty interesting story. But she says, somebody stole $10 worth of cookies from the Girl Scouts. Everybody's up in arms. So bad news has a tendency to make more noise than good news.
Yep.
And you look at, Miami, yes, great season. Boston having a great second half. But because of all the things, the soap operas that were happening in L.A. and in Brooklyn, yeah, then that's what, everybody wanted to focus on, because that really was – that sold papers. That was the headlines. And they were better headlines than these two teams playing well.
Now, one last very important question. Are you still walking to the Garden from your home? Or I don't know if you – I know where you used to live. The story about the fan following you home, uh-oh, knocking on your door and asking to play one-on-one is one of the funniest stories of all time. But are you still walking to the Garden or taking the team?
Pete, when the pandemic came, Pete, I lived downtown Boston, mm-hmm, for 25 years. Pandemic came, and then the first time I moved outside of Boston, I live – out near Brockton now.
Oh, jeez.
So now I don't get in the commuter, travel anymore, on the train and all those things, so nobody can follow me home. Now I'm arguing with people right now on the expressway about how they drive.
Welcome to the club.
You got the double whammy. You got the expressway, 93 South, and then 24 South, which is it makes Route 70, 75 down here look like Disney World.
Oh, my God. Come on. Yeah. Come on, Pete.
You got no chance.
You know that. You've been there. You've done that. Yep. You know exactly what traffic's like up here in Boston. People in Florida complain. And the thing I love about Florida is when we're down there, during what you guys call winter, yeah, and you're down there and they begin the news off, oh, my God, it's going to be 62 degrees tonight. Get all your dogs in, all the plants. And that's how they start the news off. I'm like, God bless them. So, yeah, it's a new environment that you're living in.
It's fantastic.
Hey, Max,
thanks so much.
I know you're probably all over the country today because everybody loves you. And I can't thank you enough. I miss you. And you and Sean. I hope Sean doesn't have the soliloquy written already, one game at a time, because I know how he can be.
Well, Pete, your story with me about the circumcision lives on and on, and you might want to tell that story one day, because
we played the cut. We played
me about that story. One of your best and finest moments of you asking me about that one day, and people are still talking about that in New England.
And your mom coming on, Bessie, she was a sweetheart. Yes. So yes, we've actually played that bit down here before,
yes, we have.
And it got rave reviews. But
all right, Cedric, thank you so much.
Thanks,
man.
Max. All right,
all
the best.
Easy, buddy.
Say hi to everybody.
Okay. Cedric Maxwell, a stellar performance. Bruised ovaries, stealing from Girl Scouts. I think we need to revisit the circumcision story when we come back.
He came out with a laugh. It was one time, and it was after a game, the next day after Garden, he's on with us on the big show with Glenn and myself, and he's like, he looked tired. I was like, God, he's like, what, it's like a guy followed me home and knocking on my door. And he used to live on Boylston Street.
Yeah.
He'd take the tea a couple blocks away. Somebody followed him home, knocked on his door, and across the street was some basketball. He wanted to play one-on-one with
them. That's insane.
All his life.
That would spook me. Yeah, exactly. That would scare me.
Yep.
All right, some more comments on that conversation. The Sheeman Shepherd cash grab coming up in about 11 minutes. Your chance to win $500. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. I'm Craig Sheeman, along with Pete Shepherd. Chris on the other side of the glass. Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. Just had Cedric Maxwell on. A lot of positive reviews on the texter line. In fact, because of his line about the sweet potato pie, we have a texter named Chocolate Cream Pie.
Oh,
he
yeah.
has texted in, and for the day, he will be referred to in an honorary mention of the sweet potato pie. That's his new name for the day. Stammer Time, a big fan of said, and also... we have a new texter that really liked this. Says this segment should be part of the best of Sheeman and Shepherd. I've now renamed him because he needed a texter name. You're now a fan of Cedric. So.
Max is terrific.
Give us the circumcision story because we've done this on the air before.
This came up and I was hosting that day. Glenn was off and I was hosting the big show. And Steve Burton was the other co-host, longtime WBZ TV anchor, would occasionally be a co-host. And Max was on. Yeah, I don't even know how we got into it. It was like some bizarre thing. And he's like, yeah, it reminds me. I forget. It was a sports analogy. It's kind of like how this show gets derailed sometimes. He's like, yeah, it reminds me about my when I was circumcised. I'm like, well, how do you remember when you were circumcised? You're a baby. He goes, no, not me. I was 10. And his mom, who ended up coming on the show, his parents lied to him, told him he was going to get his tonsils out.
Oh, dear God.
And he got circumcised instead at like 10 years old. Oh. He wakes up out of the emergency room or out of surgery. He's like, where's all my ice cream? Where's everything? And then it's just someday we'll play the bit again. And then I said, we got to get his mom on the phone. She's from Charlotte, North Carolina, where he played.
Yep.
And we got his wonderful mother on, Bessie, and she was such a delightful lady. And she told the whole story. I was like, I go, how the hell did you convince him into doing it? Or why didn't you do it initially? And they said they kind of didn't want to. But the way she's breaking down laughing, Steve Burton's falling off the chair, and Max is coming up with one. He's like, I'm still not over it. I still never got the ice cream. I mean, it just lied to the whole time. It's an absolute hysterical story. But
yeah,
someday I'll get the whole bit sent to me from my old place, and we'll play. I think we played only like 2 minutes of it one time. But
yeah,
it's a 10-minute story that is absolutely off the chart funny, with his mom coming on and trying to defend why she did it.
That's unbelievable.
10 years old.
Regifted also, like the Cedric Maxwell segment. All right. Coming up, we got a Sheeman and Shepherd cash grab. So, Chris, are the phones officially working or not?
They were.
Okay. Because he was on the hotline, I think. All right. Good job.
No, he wasn't.
Way to scramble. Good job. Yeah, you get a little MVP kudos for that. Good job. Because they weren't working when we started the interview didn't start the interview. So, we got that. Pete's got a college football quiz. We'll recap our pigskin picks from the weekend. Yes, there was football.
Eesh.
And Wikipedia. All that and more coming up. Sheeman Shepherd cash grab. I'm going to tell you, since we're a minute late, it's going to be the word create. We like to create greatness on this show as much as possible. Create.
Magic.
Text
create
it in.
Magic.
45911 in about 2 minutes. Sheeman Shepherd, ESPN, Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.